Good morning, everyone, and could I add my warmest thanks for you all turning out here today and coming to this breakfast. I am pleased that Danny welcomed me not only as party leader but as a young unionist, because it's almost difficult to move out of that mould where you think of yourself still being young, but quite clearly some people I do know look at me in a different sense, that I'm maybe not so young now anymore. And even the wife tells me that from time to time. And actually, when you have two nights in a row at Stormont, one at 1:30 in the morning, the next one to 2:30 in the morning, and you have to be up to do radio programmes at 7 a.m, you actually know how young you are not any longer. But anyway, what I wish to share with you today is the thinking that has informed my career in politics. Not just the few months that I have been leader of the Ulster Unionists, but the many years I have been a servant of this party. It's a party I love for many reasons, but chief among them is the fact that the Ulster Unionists have a mantra which states that the country comes first. In fact, it's country first, party second, and individual third. My theme this morning is about the need for all of us to put the country first. But permit me to dwell for a second on the other two, because when it comes to individuals, I see with us this morning some of the faces who will be our candidates in the Assembly elections in May. I won't say new faces because we are fielding a team of experience. Anyone who wishes to seek elected office must understand that it begins and ends with being grounded in the needs of the people. It is all very well and indeed essential to be able to think strategically, to sit down with presidents and prime ministers and argue your case. But beyond those corridors of power, it is just as important to be able to sit in the parlours of the people and listen to their problems, acknowledge their needs and fight their corners. I have every confidence that my team will rise to that challenge. An election is about winning seats. No doubt about that, and clearly the Ulster Unionist Party will be trying as hard as the rest to maximise our return in the 2011 Assembly. But at this stage of the devolved government's development, the people seek and deserve to measure the way they are governed in terms other than just pure quantity. Think about quantity for a moment. When it comes to numbers, Northern Ireland has no shortage. Indeed, in my judgment, when it comes to numbers, Northern Ireland is vastly overgoverned. There's 3 MEPs, 18 MPs, 108 MLAs, and 582 councillors, and endless consultants, commissioners, and quangos. When it comes to numbers, we are very well served. When it comes to numbers, the business people here this morning will acknowledge that their input is massive. But when it comes to outputs and outcomes, it's massively disappointing. When we start measuring our governance in terms of delivery, Northern Ireland is in fact vastly undergoverned. But government shouldn't just be a numbers game. Government is about delivery, expectation, relevance, efficiency, response, and meeting the needs of the people and the public. Get all of that right, and people will not be overly concerned about the numbers that are involved. But getting it wrong and allowing a disengagement and disconnect to grow between the government and the governed means that people will soon believe that they are over-governed and, worse still, badly governed. I fear that in the position that this Assembly has reached, and reached because the two lead parties, Sinn Féin and the DUP, have chosen to put the interests of their own parties above the overall interests of Northern Ireland. How do you build an education system fit for all when the ideological and political motivated doctrine of one party is allowed to set the agenda, and when that agenda cannot be properly challenged? How do you build a shared future when the two parties at the heart of government operate by veto and fudge? How do you introduce collective responsibility and individual accountability in the absence of trust and a formal and funded system of opposition? How do you create a programme for government and a budget to underwrite it when supposed partners in government find it so difficult to agree on the fundamentals. Some small examples: this Assembly threw £9.5 million at the reform of the local network of 26 local councils and changed absolutely nothing. This Assembly threw £12 million at planning a national sports stadium and built nothing. This Assembly spent £10 million on education and skills authority only for meaningful and appropriate reform to be so far away as ever. And nothing will change unless we change the way that we do politics. If you elect the same people to operate the same system in the same way, you'll just get the same result. 2011 Assembly must deliver a step change in the way it does business, because with 36 days to go, it is crystal clear that the greatest achievement of the 2007 Assembly is that it actually survived. I don't know about you, but when I go to meet my maker, I hope that he will judge me to have achieved a little more than just survival. I would like to be judged to have done some good, noble and honest things in my life. I want to rest easy in the knowledge that I cleared obstacles in other people's lives. I want to help create the conditions where my children can grow up in a Northern Ireland where they can thrive and not just simply survive. I want an Assembly filled with people who can be true to themselves and their parties, yet trust it to ensure the greater good comes first. I said that for Ulster Unionists, the country comes first, and that is the main theme for me this morning. Northern Ireland, like the rest of the United Kingdom and much of Europe, is facing an uncertain economic and financial future. Individuals and families are worried about their jobs and their businesses and what the future holds for their children. Whilst Northern Ireland has made significant progress in the last 12 years, the financial and economic circumstances we face today pose a serious threat to our economic and social development. The next 4 years will be the biggest challenge yet to the Northern Ireland Executive and Assembly. The Ulster Unionist Party believes that maintaining the status quo and being content with relative political stability is no longer good enough, and if pursued as an end goal by political parties, will put at risk all of our futures. What we need is a step change in our economic policies and a fundamental change in how, as a government, we all deliver those policies. As you know, the Ulster Unionists have taken the lead in promoting corporation tax as a key element for taking our economy to the next level, generating new jobs and growing the private sector. We have stood our ground on that belief as others faltered. We stuck firm when Sir David Varney reported to the then Labour government and others threw their hands up in surrender. And we stand firm as others speculate about what it will cost, who will pay, and what little return it will generate. To listen to some commentators, you would think that lowering corporation tax was all about allowing fat cat business people to keep more of their profits and making the least well off pay for it. By taking the money out of the block grant, meaning less support, less services for most of the needy. If that was the case, ladies and gentlemen, I would not support it, I wouldn't promote it, and I wouldn't be here today. This isn't about making a few rich people richer. It's about ensuring that we, as a government, as a country, as a nation, generate the wealth that we all need to grow our private sector to the point where we are no longer so deeply dependent on the state aid for our survival. My vision is of an economy where employment hits new peaks, but again, not just in quantities, but in quality as well. My vision is of an economy where people work not only for the money to put the bread on the table, but for the satisfaction of knowing their job helps to fulfil their lives. This is ending the local economy's unsustainable reliance on the public sector. Currently, it is estimated that 77% of the money that flows, like the blood in our veins of the economy, is dependent on the public sector. Let me be clear about the public sector. I cherish it and I acknowledge its worth. I salute the teachers and nurses and the refuge collectors and all the others who work in the public sector. But rebalancing our economy is not about attacking public servants. No, rebalancing our economy is about three things. It's about growing the private sector. It's about developing the social economy to broaden access to services and our commitment to social inclusion for all. And thirdly, about tackling the waste within the private sector. Every new private sector job takes a bite out of the reliance on the public sector. Every time a new social economy service opens its doors, the 77% figure drops towards 76%, 75%, 74%, and onwards down. It will take time, but that is no obstacle to embracing that principle of change. And lowering corporation tax will also take time. Many of you will have heard the scary figures about the cost of lowering the corporation tax rate. 280 or 300 million pounds are sums that you may have heard. But that is based on going from the current 28% to 12.5% or lower in a single swoop. I do not know who thinks that is a good idea, but ladies and gentlemen, I don't. In the first place, the Coalition Government is set to bring down the headline on small business rates next year right across the whole of the United Kingdom. But we need more, not least because we are unique in the United Kingdom in having a land border with another EU nation state. What we propose is a series of further cuts over a period of 8 to 10 years. This is not the day to commit to the specifics of that incremental change process. This is the day for you and me and the Ulster Unionist Party and the business community to agree to work together to run and monitor the business models which best predict the impact of changes in corporation tax. Along the way, we have a choice. We can all be lazy and accept the thoughtless assumption that what we gain in corporation tax, we lose from the block grant. Or we can devise imaginative change methods of helping pay for the changes in the short term. I offer three other thoughts about the impact of the lower rate of corporation tax. The stimulating effect on the economy can help grow the public sector as well as the private. Secondly, it was so important to the Republic of Ireland that even when they were accused of losing their sovereignty to Europe and the International Monetary Fund, their leading lights said they would die in a ditch to keep that 12.5% corporation tax rate. And thirdly, have you ever heard of a company called Warner Shilcott? It's a company bought over by the greatest Northern Irish entrepreneur of his generation, Sir Alan MacLeay. Late Sir Alan MacLeay founded Galen, made it into Northern Ireland's first billion-pound company, and then acquired Warner Shilcott. This time last year, Warner Shilcott relocated their European headquarters. Where? In Dundalk. Don't anyone tell me that the Republic's corporation tax does not generate jobs. Having said that, even if every detail is thrashed out to our advantage, corporation tax is not a silver bullet to end all our economic woes. We need economic development and an economic enterprise zone. And again, now is the time to start the debate on what that zone should look like and how we get there. It has to be a basket of measures that reflects our needs from research and development to helping our small and medium enterprises with energy efficiency. And this morning I invite you, our business leaders, and the leaders in the public, community and voluntary sectors to join us in the Ulster Unionist Party in designing the sort of enterprise zone that will be spearheaded the push to a better and more prosperous and cohesive Northern Ireland. We need to work with the Coalition Government in London to cut and simplify business taxes, making Northern Ireland a more attractive place to do business. We need to cut the red tape to liberate our entrepreneurs to get on with what we are good at doing. We need to build on the success to date of the Ulster Unionist Minister for Employment and Learning to ensure that yet more people from disadvantaged areas have access to further and higher education, and that our further and higher education institutions themselves become even more embedded in the strategies to attract foreign direct investment by continuing to offer the bespoke training foreign companies that demand as part of an investment commitment. On the subject of red tape and process, we need to push central government to help open up procurement procedures. Government procurement is a £200 billion a year market. Northern Ireland's private sector is a web of small and medium-sized enterprises, but the two are not well connected, and that needs to change. Locally, we need to do more to build the capacity of social enterprises and small and medium-sized enterprises to gain access to the procurement markets, and we need to ensure that the executive, within the law, can do all it can to look favourably on local companies. We also need to look forward and embrace the possibilities that will inevitably arise from the growth in green and renewable energies. There may be tens of thousands of new jobs generated UK-wide in the next couple of decades in this area. Northern Ireland must seize a share, and I do mean seize and not demand. This is not about handing out the begging bowl to our national politicians. This is about our local politicians, led by the Ulster Unionist Party, creating the environment in which entrepreneurs can seize the moment. We must make the most of developing areas of opportunities. The creative industries in Northern Ireland are thriving. However, we need to focus on their needs in order to ensure they can continue to grow, continue to employ more people, and continue to bring sizeable investment into Northern Ireland. With this in mind, the Ulster Unionist Party will be focusing on ensuring we make the most out of our Project Kelvin. As a region, we must also be clued into global opportunities. The Republic of Ireland, Europe and North America, whilst making up the majority of our export markets and inward investment levels, are currently experiencing a period of limited growth. We must be fully engaged with those areas of the world that are experiencing significant growth and are beginning to develop sophisticated internal consumer markets. That is why I have called for an export strategy for Northern Ireland, with specific reference to the building networks in the BRIC countries of Brazil, Russia, India and China. Similarly, the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Investment must produce a robust, cross-cutting enterprise strategy as soon as possible. Tourism is another area in which significant growth can be delivered. We have achieved significant capital funding over the last 4 years, and our signature projects will be world-class. Over the next 4 years, we must concentrate on filling those attractions and increasing visitor numbers and the amount of money that we spend, That is why I want to review a review of the workings of Tourism Ireland, to ensure that our main customers in Great Britain know about our unique product. It is why I want greater investment in innovation and tourist products, and it is why we must have much greater coordination between the Department of Culture, Arts and Leisure and DETI when it comes to developing cultural tourism in Northern Ireland. I know this is a great place, you know that this is a great place, but it is time that the rest of the world knew about Northern Ireland and what it has to offer. As I say, it is not the business of politicians to create jobs. The business of business is business. The politician's job is to help create the circumstances where business people can thrive, create jobs, and generate the funds to improve our country's infrastructure. I sincerely hope you have a more successful, that you have been more successful at your business than the Assembly has been at its over the last 4 years. But if we are to revitalise our economy, we need a political game changer first. If the 2007 Assembly is to be characterised as a government that survived, the 2011 version must go down in history as a government that delivered. This has not happened, and if we do not introduce change, this will not happen. Here is how I see we can affect change. After the 2007 election, the parties ran the hunt, divided up the government departments, and then agreed a programme for government that wasn't worth the paper it was written on. Because once a party has a department, its minister is really accountable only to his or her party and not the executive. Look at the mess Conor Murphy and DRD made of the Northern Ireland water, yet he is still in post because he is untouchable. It introduces the temptation to play party political interests ahead of the needs of the country. For example, An education minister can ignore the wishes of the people who want an end to the 11 plus system but want to keep academic selection and try to abolish both, resulting in unregulated testing, heartache and uncertainty for families, and chaos as the state loses control of state education. But next time, this May, let's switch things around and agree a programme of government before we run the hunt. That way all the parties agree what needs to be done first. We begin by sorting out the likes of education, RPA, Maze Law and Caoimhe, before we start wasting money by disagreeing. Then we can appoint the ministers and make that happen. We agree how much we have to spend as a government and how we want to spend it as a government, then run the hunt to form a government that will make it happen. If the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats can do it in 5 days for the entire UK, local parties should be able to manage it pretty quickly. Others will tell you there is no mechanism in legislation to allow this to happen, that there is no time between the election of the First Minister and Deputy First Minister and running the hunt. But ladies and gentlemen, I say, where there is a will, there is a way, and it's up to us as politicians to make that happen. Sinn Féin, the DUP, stand accused of running a two-party carve-up rather than an all-party coalition. They stand accused by us, among others, and we have plenty of evidence. If Sinn Féin, the DUP, want to change, if they want to deliver rather than survive, if they want to put the country first, then let them speak out today and back this proposal. And if they do not, let their silence be a sign that for them, the country does not come first, that delivering positive change is not the priority, that the negative of the Assembly did not collapse defines the height of their ambitions, and that a vote for them is a vote for more of the same. We will not be a party to maintaining a status quo that delivers so little for the people. We will be true to our history of putting the country first. It's a question of trust. That means no dodgy land deals, no dodgy business deals, no dodgy political deals. Cynics will say this is simply me preparing the Ulster Unionists for opposition. But no. It's about preparing for good government. It's about acknowledging the current system does not work, and we in the Ulster Unionists have a simple, workable solution. The bare minimum for any government to deliver, and especially so for a coalition government, mandatory or not, is to have clear and agreed objectives and clear and agreed plans as to how you are going to achieve them. A coherent, robust and strategic programme for government with clear cross-cutting implementation plans, with inbuilt monitoring and evaluation that you can trust, is a must if the institutions we currently have are going to deliver for you and every single person in Northern Ireland. However, whilst we can make what we have work better, what we have today was always intended to be transitional, to woe people wedded to violence to a peaceful political future. So moving from the transitional to the next phase, I propose we set a 4-year period in which we agree the changes we need. Changes like reducing the number of constituencies, cutting the number of MLAs, and cutting the number of governmental departments. But as I seek to cut our over-governance in numbers and input, and address our under-governments in outputs and outcomes, it is time to set our sights on a review of the devolved government that paves the way for the next elections in 2015, to be about electing a government and an opposition. So the Ulster Unionists are not preparing our members for opposition in 2011. We are paving the way for better government at Stormont. They say the trouble with the original Stormont government is that you could call as many elections as you wanted, but you would never see a change in government because of one-party dominance. The problem with this process of the Stormont government is that you can call as many elections as you want, but you will never see a change of government because of the mandatory coalition. We have 4 years to prepare the ground from a change from a mandatory all-party coalition to a system of government and opposition, the system that works around the world. The Ulster Unionist Party is committed to making government in Northern Ireland better. We are committed to shoring up democratic practice, through the introduction of procedures which will make it easier to agree a collective approach and easier to deliver the sort of government which people clearly want. We are committed to replacing poor governance with effective governance. We are committed to reducing the numbers and departments required to deliver government. We are committed to the creation of good government, a proper opposition, and a real choice at elections. We are committed to building a shared future based on trust rather than veto. We are committed to genuine power sharing rather than self-serving carve-up. We are committed to a socio-economic platform which will help every sector within Northern Ireland. We are committed to building a Northern Ireland for all rather than a Northern Ireland of newer and higher walls being built under a carve-up regime. We are committed to providing a form of government which will encourage voters to the polls for the right reasons and which will also encourage our brightest and best to get involved in politics. We are committed to making Northern Ireland a better place. So that is the plan, aim for government and opposition in 2015 and target a game changer for the way the mandatory coalition does business between now and then. In 2011, money is precious, but people are precious as well. The next Assembly must deliver more than the precious little that the current administration had to offer. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ulster Unionist is back on his feet, back in business and ready to continue the job that we started in 1998. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the process that we are planning for a way forward from the Ulster Unionist Party. We ask others to follow and we all can deliver together. Thank you for your attendance and I do sincerely wish you a safe and onward journey in every sense. Thank you.